The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
A high-level American delegation is travelling to Doha today for talks with Iran, but Iran says no meeting has been planned. Now, this confusion points to a peace deal really on the edge, with the two countries having less than 60 days to negotiate a permanent end to the war. International journalist and presenter Sally Lockwood joins me now. Sally, thank you for being with us. Can you shed any light on what is or isn't happening in relation to this meeting today?
Hi to you, Claire. It feels like the same story every time we speak, trying to decipher the messaging from both sides, who clearly have their own agendas and are speaking to their own domestic audiences. But I think we can say with some certainty that there are going to be two delegations in Doha this week. Steve Witkoff is reportedly already on his way, Donald Trump's special envoy. Jared Kushner is reportedly joining him. And the Iranians are sending a delegation for technical talks this week. But both sides are describing the scenario differently. Donald Trump announced that the Iranians requested this meeting that would be held in Doha, whereas the Iranians are flat out denying that they're going to be meeting with the Americans, that the technical delegation that they're sending for talks are not in any way anything to do with the Americans who are arriving in Doha. But I think we can expect that both sides will be holding talks in some respect between mediators at some point this week. But I just can't think, I don't think we can say with any certainty that it's going to take place today. And it is definitely not a scheduling mix-up. This is just all part of the war of words.
Because I mentioned, you know, that the clock is ticking now on this 60-day countdown, and we're well into that now too. So do you suspect that there are meetings at some level happening, even if the very high-level Jared Kushner, Steve Witkoff meetings are not?
I mean, it would be highly unlikely that they would be sending such senior envoys without some degree of certainty that it wouldn't be a completely wasted trip. I think what we can expect is some sort of face-saving hybrid, that technical teams will meet in Doha in the coming days. But whether that's going to be senior members meeting in person or some sort of photo opportunity, I don't think we can expect that. And, you know, it's only, what, 10 days ago that the two sides finally met in Switzerland after a whole lot of uncertainty. And then the Iranian delegation, I'm sure you remember, Claire, left the room. They walked out during the talks because Donald Trump dropped several truth bombs on Truth Social, threatening the Iranians, and it all fell apart. So, you know, they're delicate. This is so delicate. And we're only 10 days into these talks, but it feels like they haven't really made any progress. They're still trying to iron out the very urgent issues, such as the Strait of Hormuz. And I think that's what's also really important about this meeting in Doha. This isn't an extension of the talks that have been happening in Geneva and in Switzerland. This is an emergency session, essentially, to iron out the escalation that we saw here over the weekend, and also to deal with the situation in the Strait of Hormuz, which is extremely volatile and very few ships are still getting through.
Okay, so that's interesting to hear, because I think when we see the price of oil falling below $73 a barrel, we assume that the Strait of Hormuz must be working well, but you're saying it's not.
I think there were 24 crossings in the last 24 hours, and what we're seeing at the moment is it really fluctuates. So there is, you know, it's actually hard to get a genuine picture of what is accurate right now, but the most authoritative figure, IMF Portwatch, recorded just 5 transits on the 21st of June. So what we're seeing is it's bouncing between near zero on some days and then double digits on other days. But, you know, there is still so many contentious details when it comes to how the Strait of Hormuz is actually functioning right now, because in the memorandum of understanding, some of the language is quite ambiguous, but it essentially gives the Iranians power to ensure the safe passage of international shipping through the Strait of Hormuz. So they want to control it. And in recent days, the US have opened a southern route in the south of the Strait of Hormuz, avoiding the mines, which is hugging the coastline of Oman. And they've been helping ships transit that way. But the Iranians want to be in control of who's passing through the Strait of Hormuz through their route, which is the north of the mines, hugging the Iranian coastline. It's extremely complex. And I think it speaks to the fact that the Iranians know they've got such a powerful tool when it comes to the Strait of Hormuz, and they're going to try and exploit that as much as they can, even in this 60-day period of negotiations.
Well, that's a dangerous place for Oman to be, surely, to be providing this alternative route when Iran has realised that a lot of its power lies in the Strait of Hormuz shipping channel.
Yeah, and you know, Iran has been saying for weeks now that they're not going to charge tolls during the 60-day period. That's what's been agreed in the memorandum of understanding. But they do plan to in the future. And they have mentioned on many occasions that they are going to do this in partnership with Oman, who interestingly have come out today and said that they do not plan to do that. And I think that's the first time they've ever said that on record, that they don't plan to join Iran in trying to charge what they're calling maritime service fees for international shipping, and that they will adhere to international law when it comes to the Strait of Hormuz. And this is the contentious issue. And I think there's a lot of concern that in this negotiating period, Donald Trump is so determined to find a solution, to find a way out of this war and to declare some sort of a deal, that the Iranians could end up being allowed to charge some sort of toll, some sort of fee, whatever, you know, no matter how much they dress it up and rebrand it. And that will really anger, especially Gulf countries who do not want to see their energy exports controlled by the Iranians. And there's absolutely no love lost now between Gulf states and Iran. And I would say that at the moment, you know, we're expecting to see the Strait of Hormuz reopened. We've been told that for weeks now, and it's still far from open in terms of the pre-war levels, which were around 150 crossings a day.
Mm-hmm. And what is life like in the region now, Sally? We've spoken to you from the very start since February, when things were very, very difficult and challenging. Have things settled largely?
That's a really good question. We had a missile alert here in Dubai, where I live, on Friday night. It was around 5 p.m. and the screech of the emergency alert, you know, blasted on our mobile phones, and people just couldn't believe it. I mean, there was shock. I couldn't believe it, you know, and I'm used to reporting on this because we haven't had it for weeks now. We've, you know, enjoyed the comfort of this ceasefire and things being relatively calm. Now, the authorities here came out quite quickly and said it was a mistake, and they retracted it and declared it a technical error. But I think a lot of people still are very jumpy, and they're conscious that it's still very volatile, that Iran isn't very far away. The Strait of Hormuz is very close. You know, there's a lot of activity in the sky. We see a lot of military aircraft and helicopters flying all the time. And I think, you know, people are enjoying the relative sense of calm, but they're conscious that that the region has been left in such a tense state. And even just after that missile alert on Friday evening, I mean, you should have, the resort where I live, it's a kind of, you know, residential community, it emptied, you know. It was a Friday evening, people are outside and it emptied, people rushed into their homes. I think there's still a real nervousness. And I think the concern is that, Claire, you and I will be having a conversation very similar to this in several months' time, because I don't think there's a huge amount of confidence that this 60-day negotiating period, which ends in the middle of August, is going to be particularly productive. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first 10 days haven't gone very well. We've had several flare-ups and they're still wrangling over the very initial details. They haven't got anywhere near the complex issues like Iran's nuclear program yet.
And have people left Dubai and not returned? I know in the initial stages people left, maybe some returned. In that regard, what are you seeing?
A very mixed picture. There are lots of people who didn't leave, who stayed here and felt safe and remained calm, and life, you know, life went on. There are other people who left and who've never returned. And then, you know, I've spoken to teachers who've said, oh, you know, we've got 100 families who still haven't returned to our school where we work. But these figures, it's all anecdotal. These figures are not publicized. There's no public data. So it's really only anecdotal in terms of the picture that you're getting, but there are still a lot of people, you know, I meet people in the financial district periodically and they're saying, you know, no one is cancelling their contracts, but everything's paused. And you hear the same when it comes to real estate as well. You know, people haven't sold houses here for months, but the house prices are still just holding because I think people are hoping that the bounce back is just around the corner. And I think the reality is no one really knows yet.
All right. Well, we will wait and see. And I'm sure we will talk again. Sally, thank you so much for your time. Sally Lockwood there, international journalist and presenter, speaking to us from Dubai.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.